with Nisuin. What's been coming through, and the main thing that's coming through is number one, obviously there needs to be exclusivity, and that any external, what they call extramarital relationships, are obviously going to be pogged deeply in the etzem mahus of what that relationship is. Okay, take it a little bit further. Keshen Nisuin chayv liyos banui al ave al regesh val kirve ishit. The marriage relationship in the moshul and in the nimshul needs to be built on love. Al regesh, there's to be feelings. Val kirve ishit, there's to be closeness, personal, there's to be connection. Yudisha'enu chash boisa ave, yudisha'enu moida lekesha ishi shalo in boira ilon. A Jew that doesn't feel that love, who doesn't acknowledge that personal relationship that he has with the boy Ra'ilo, Gamim Yah says, Kola mitzvah peshleimus. Olulu la'avid es mehusachayim. Even if he does all the mitzvahs peshleimus, it's possible that he could lose the whole reason, the whole essence of what life's about. Raka shenayde bo'ifen bori ki ein lanu meko achela sogas tainu gemes. Only after he acknowledges and recognizes, and it becomes clear to him the truth of this fact, is clear to him that there is no source where he can get real, genuine pleasure from. Milva doidi veroi, except from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, asher chiku mamtakim, rak az noicha litzukeshi ishim baroilam, latzis belibeinu es shalevas ava. Only then can he start putting into himself the correct relationship, the ava, the flame of love that has to exist between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has to start with the recognition that there is nowhere else to go. Ha'inyan doime in the Bnei Zug, the very important likud of this. She'einu mushlamim im beisam einu metafked b'tzura ye'ila. You have a couple, you get couples, whatever. They don't really. Habal einu mefanes kerois mishpachtoi. He doesn't, whatever, he's not the best businessman. He doesn't know really how to handle finances. He's not mefanes the family properly. Ule isha einu deges kerois loichel, klekvis ele tafkid abayas. The house is a bit of a mess. She doesn't know where the washing machine is. She doesn't know how to cook hot meal. She just, whatever, she's a shlamazel. What do you want? This is a balagan. The children, whatever they want. They have one thing. They have one thing here that overrides all the lackings. There's an enormous love and endearment and respect. And they're happy. The love is, you know, the love hides all the negativities. Habayis mamshich liskayayin v'lova ayim es alav sekonas birud. The home continues. There's no sekona of the house falling apart. In other words, you have one home where you have a lot of simcha and happiness and love, but it's a mess. At the performance level, it's a disaster zone. That marriage is fine. Lumazois, the Bnei Zug Acherim, the next door neighbors, Shetzlam Shoirim Shilaton Veseda, Hamoyach Sholet Vabais Metafked Batsura Mule. He's a top class guy, he knows that in the finest house, he runs the house property, she's a balabosta, you know what I'm saying? There's whatever, that house is, you know, the meals on palm, they're hard, everything's Metafked Meachut. Yeah, it's like a military operation. Ulam, im aleif chose, in aim sham ave ve'ein tikshoret chiyuvis b'neiyeh. But if there's no love there and there's no positive connection and relationship, heim chesorim esaika. So then they're lacking everything. That home is in danger. Means if the performance is fine but the relationship isn't, you have a sakon on your hands. If the relationship's intact and the performance is a problem, it's not a danger to the marriage. You have to teach them how to, whatever, you have to take them aside and teach them how to perform properly. But if the performance is spitz and there's no relationship, hello pashut. Ein kavana seinu chas v'chiri l'mayit b'chashivas v'dikduk b'kol prat m'mayis ha-mitzvah. In the nimshal, yeah, we're talking about the difference, the two different realms of the realm of performance, doing the mitzvahs, mi'ayivet Hashem, and the other, the relationship. No one here is coming to l'mayit chas v'chalila, the importance of the dikduk v'kol prat m'mayis ha-mitzvahs, chas v'chalila. The whole second half of the sefer is about that. Chas v'chalila, this is not Christianity. Where we come and you say that you need just the relationship, you have to love Hashem and everything else is fine. And you throw Shulchan Aruch out the window, Chalila. Chas v'chalila, that's what's been said. Ulam, al dikduk zeh, livnoya mima'ena av v'rotzen l'kaimus rutsoyne, shelahuv b'shleimus. But the kiyuma mitzvahs has to flow from a wellspring of I love Hashem and I want to serve Him properly. Kachem pnei advarim b'baisa yudiva, kachem pnei advarim b'kesha avash, anu yoitzrim in boirik kol alomois. If a husband comes home and he gives his wife flowers because the chosen teacher told him you have to buy flowers for your wife, loich patlo his wife, loich patlo the flowers, but just the guy said, I got to buy flowers, I bought flowers, yeah, flowers. And he dumps them in the, you know, on the thing that says, yeah, your flowers, dear. And the flowers can't do anything. Flowers not going to help. That's not what flowers are about. But the flowers comes out of a recognition and appreciation and a love, and he's giving the flowers because he wants to express and show a feeling that he has. Those flowers are fantastic. They're wonderful. I think it's poshut. It's poshut. We know in our own lives, in our own avodas Hashem, the dikduk mitzvahs, and you meet people like this that are more medaktek in mitzvahs or whatever, but they don't even know that Hashem exists. The shaykh is to Hashem.
But the question why we have so much problem in the Shalom Bayit, why the family, you know, it's not because it's not clean, it's not, or the Parnassah, I don't know.
That's a massive subject. That's a big question. I don't think it's possible to understand where marriage is going wrong without understanding more klali, where klali Yisrael has gone wrong. I think this has a lot to do with it. I think the aspirations of a young couple getting married today may not be Jewish. They may be going to marriage with aspirations that are not correct. I think a lot of it has to do with the lack of education. I think the boys are going to marriage today with not a clue what a marriage is. In the Agdama to Chele Gimel, to the marriage sefer, he asks some very pertinent questions, just about simple definitions of what marriage is. I promise you now, you're going to any of these shivas today. Your Shmuley once asked me when his first son was going to Tifrach. So funny enough, there's a big tumult about the different shittas about how you machanach the guys in Hilchas, Taras, Abayis, whatever. He wanted to know, you know, he didn't want to send his kid to yeshiva where it wasn't the mahalach that he was interested in or whatever. So he asked me to find out what mahalach are the guys exposed to, what are they involved in, a pre-marriage preparation or whatever, which mahalach is or whatever. I laughed, I thought, what are you talking about? It's not this and it's not that, no one talks about it. Machanach the kids before they start dating to have a sense of what marriage is and what have a definition of marriage, to know what to look to. Who educates the boys today on what marriage is and what you're supposed to do and what the definition is and what the Torah wants to enjoy, but before they start dating? I'm not talking about after they're engaged and they go for a few chosen classes, which is also, if you'll find the right chosen teacher, alavai. If you find the wrong chosen teacher, it's tamritzicha. You find the wrong chosen teacher, I've heard from Gedolei Rosh Yeshivas, the wrong chosen teacher can be a retzeil. Mamash destroy the marriage before it starts. You'll find the right chosen teachers. How many times are you going to see him before the wedding? You're going to learn everything you need to know about marriage in the 4 or 5 meetings between the engagement and the wedding, which is not exactly the most marukaz time, you know, that's when people are most concentrated. Hours and hours of work. That's number one. There's a poshut lack of education. Then there's the goyish shegifas. But there's a bigger problem, which the Mishnah in Sotah points out. And that is, there's a complete breakdown in the fabric of society. I heard somebody mention recently they heard from one of the teachers in a very prominent Beis Yaakov in New York, that the majority of kids in grade one, Kita Aleph, whatever, the majority of kids come from divorced homes too. That's in the Beis Yaakov. A more modern Beis Yaakov, less modern Beis Yaakov, that's 10%, that's 20%, but the majority of kids are coming from divorced homes today. That's a terrifying story. I mean, that's the breakdown of Klal Yisrael. You want to destroy Klal Yisrael, just close down the homes. feminism, I think the impact of feminism on the Orthodox world has had a big impact. The girls also coming in with the wrong... Well, but there's a basic breakdown in the fabric of society. If a child doesn't have to listen to his father, and therefore he doesn't have to listen to his teachers, and therefore he doesn't have to listen to any authority whatsoever, he also doesn't have to listen to Hashem, a wife doesn't have to listen to the husband, doesn't have to respect the wife, and the whole, that's what the mission in Sotah is describing. A total breakdown in the fabric of society. So what do you think? Marriages are going to be intact? Up to it, whatever. Yeah. No, there's many. I'm saying there are many problems. There's not one particular problem. But if you want to go to the core, go to the Mishnah. Mishnah says there's a breakdown in the normal parameters of a normal, healthy, frum society, Jewish society. Before Mashiach comes, those things are completely non-existent. How can that not impact on marriage? Of course, it's going to impact on marriage. Besides everything else, but. This is the opportunity, this depressing picture we just painted. He calls, I heard he's not well. So, my wife just told me last night that she heard he's not well. So he's apparently back in treatment. This is an opportunity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given this generation. When everything's falling apart, when everything's crashing, where everybody's looking for pleasures everywhere other than in the Torah, we have an opportunity to show, no, we dafka want the relationship, we dafka want the marriage. The color has an opportunity to show, I want the closeness to Hashem. I want to only have a relationship with the Chosin, with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kasher naskil lepetach es haregishut ha'ava. When we begin and start understanding the importance of generating these feelings of love. V'nakir ka'anu kshurim em ha'Kodesh Baruch Hu b'kesher shel ava. And we start recognizing that we are bound to Hashem with bonds of love. Shashem hu oiv amo Yisrael. He loves Klal Yisrael. Ava rabba ava tonu. How much does Hashem love us? How many times he has to tell us that he loves us before it sinks in? And we live with Hashem in the Cheder Yichud. We're not worried about what the society says and what the system says. And what. I live with Hashem. Yipol mitzit ko elef urevove miminecho. Eilecha lo yigosh. It's a mighty statement David HaMelech's telling you. The world's falling apart around you. Yipol mitzit ko elef. On the right hand side are your rabbi. The right hand side is where you keep your rabbis, where you keep your teachers. The whole world's falling apart. The world is falling apart on your left side, and on the right side are your rabbi, your teachers. The whole world's falling apart. There's nowhere to find any, almost impossible to find any authenticity anymore. You can walk through this with your moral dignity, where your inner reality intact. Eilecha lo yigosh. Just open your eyes and have a look, understand what's going on, understand how much Hashem loves you. That's the Cheder Yichud. Nizke lo eisa haftocha sheftechanu avinu malkenu beyad Nevi Yoshua Hoisha, sorry. That's the tikkuf we're in at the moment. We have to swim against the tide like Avram Avinu. That's who we're learning. We're busy learning Avram Avinu's Torah here. Who was the master craftsman of swimming against the tide? Of not being worried about what was going on around and just doing what you're supposed to do, serving Hashem. That's Avram Avinu. Oimalanu. Avram Avinu tells us the following. Emes atem magishim kilo atem abudim. You feel like it's all lost. It's hopeful. It's hopeless. the majority of kids coming into a Beis Yaakov today are coming from divorced homes, Rabbi Yisrael. It's like, you don't feel lost. We won't discuss the drug problem. We won't discuss the girls getting married to Arab problem. We won't even start anything. Just the majority of kids coming into certain Beis Yaakov. I'm sure that's not widespread. Here it's probably different. But the fact that there is one school, it's horrific. You feel lost. There's nowhere to turn anymore. Says Avraham Avinu, you have to start like I started from the beginning. I was alone. Bli rav moira. I didn't have a rav. I didn't have a teacher. Bli shum sir chitzoni. I didn't have parents I could talk to. I was completely alone. In the same way, you can acquire the imuna that you need, and to make an eternal acquisition, you have imuna. Start learning to find out who you are. Discover what it is. Discover what this Jew called me is. You'll understand who you really are. When you recognize how important you are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're his beloved. As we said, you're his child, and you're his wife, you're his only wife. So then you'll have the koyach to be able to withstand all the nisoinus of this pre-messianic generation. You'll be able to climb and inspiratory glow and grow and reach enormously high levels. By the way, that story I told you yesterday about Aaron Leib, I was wrong. I have to touch it up. We'll just see what a person in this generation can achieve. Not that we come from there, whatever, but I mentioned yesterday that Aaron Leib and all the fast used to fast from the day before. All the fast. Today's fast, he started fasting from Shkia yesterday already. There's one Shiva Asa B'Tammuz, which is the longest fast of the year. He'd already been fasting 25 hours. He came home after Maariv. They wanted to give him something to eat to break the fast. He wouldn't eat. I'm going to learn for a little bit, then I'll eat something. They tried a few times. After a few hours, we're getting ridiculous. He wasn't eating. He hadn't eaten for 29 hours or whatever, 30 hours. So his son told the story. He said, excuse me, what's going on? He's pushing. Eventually, he couldn't, He told him, listen, today was a fast day. So fast days, people usually don't come and bother me that much. You know, there's not so much Kabbalah Kal, whatever, you know, on a fast day, you're not allowed to do anything. You know? Everyone goes to sleep at 12:30 and that's it, you know, wake up for Mari. So nobody was bothering me today. So I was able today to mamash learn Geshmak. I was able to learn 70 Daf of Zvokim today. On a fast day, he was able to learn 70 Daf of Zvokim. Okay, he'd seen it 30 times before, no, whatever. He didn't start for the first time learning Ezra Maklaim. But he was able to learn 70 times. He said, and after learning Geshmak like that, I just don't have a tay of it to eat. I just can't eat. I haven't got a cheshek to eat. That's in this generation. Okay, you'll tell me, Rav, I don't know if it wasn't for this generation. Don't compare yourself. Don't try. Alava could learn 7 lines of Zvachim on a fast day. But I'm just saying that you see that what a person who just understands is a Kodesh Baruch Hu and he starts getting closer and closer to the koichas a person get today to achieve things that you never thought you could achieve. You look at yourselves when you first started learning Torah, whenever it was. You thought you'd ever be able to learn at this level, be able to grow. And you said, no. Put your head, you give over to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, can achieve enormous things. But it requires this nakud of exclusivity. Understanding, who am I? Okay, we're about to start a very, very important subject here. Moedika subject here. One that's based in Chazal, and it's magdir for us very much what the important and where to prioritize and how to put one's kochus into avoided today. We'll just start it now. We have 2 minutes. We'll start now. It's very good. It's the sugya of being makabel ol malchus shamayim and being makabel ol mitzvahs. You'll see as we go through, we know that there's kabbalos ol malchus shamayim, there's kabbalos ol mitzvahs. That's the two psukim, the two chapters of Shema that we say. And we'll see the Gemara asks, how do we arrange the order? Why do we first makabel ol malchus shamayim, then ol mitzvahs? The Gemara in half a minute should have been the other way. We're going to play with this in the light of the two nekudas we've put in place already, which is performance and relationship. And how these two things have to interrelate and which one has to come first and how it all works. A very fascinating discussion. It's very lamaisa. If we'll start meditating and start understanding the enormous power that we have in our neshamas, It's quite possible that this emunah we have in ourselves, counterintuitive, stay with me, stay with him actually, that is Kabbalah Samalchus Shamayim. That's obviously a strange subject and statement, we need to understand what that means. Kabbalah Samalchus Shamayim is I accept the yoke of heaven on me. What's Kabbalah Samalchus Shamayim got to do with me recognizing and understanding how great I am? Sounds a little bit... The Yetzara doesn't give us time to spend meditating on these subjects. And it doesn't allow us to spend real time to absorb them, to internalize them until we really have them clear. He prefers... I'm going to be burning some bridges here, maybe. I don't know. You're not allowed to say these things in public. We're going to be public now, so. And I never said, no, you can say, I've said this in public. I've burned many bridges already. Not chaschvelet, any of the things you shouldn't do. Aval, we understand this is not what Hashem's really driving for us. He's much happier that you're involved in keeping chumras and doing chassidic shizachen and going to kivrei tzaddikim and putting on little red bands around your arms and doing all sorts of wonderful segulas. Just don't stop, don't think. Just don't find out who you really are. Just you keep running around doing lots of things, keep busy, and don't ever take time out to just discover who am I. Reb Noach used to put it this way. He used to say, the most fascinating person you're ever going to meet in this world is you. You might as well take time out to get to know yourself. There's no one more fascinating. There's no one you're going to understand better, that you're going to like more than yourself. So spend a lot of time getting to know yourself, because otherwise you're going to have to pay a psychologist and you'll sit there and tell him who you are. You might as well just talk to yourself and work it out before you actually need to go to a psychologist. It's the same idea. Take time out to get to know yourself. Hayetze yodeh sheyedia kazu shehi chayderes el alev. He Kabbalah Malchus Shamayim, the Yetzer knows that this knowledge, getting to know who we really are, understanding that we chelok Elokim imal, what our relationship with Hashem is and what we are able to achieve, that is Kabbalah Malchus Shamayim, sherei imakol tolubi, ubishvil nivra ha'olam, if it's all true what we set up to now, that everything's tolu on me, and the whole world was created for me, ha'mashmoy si shakolosh baruch hu mechakeli, so Hashem's waiting, he needs me, he wants me to do what he needs me to do, kevi yachol. There's a job in this world that only I can do. No one else is allowed to do it. The unions don't allow anybody else to do your job. Only you're allowed to do it. If you don't do it, it's not going to get done. Therefore, I need to manage my life with a little bit more seriousness and responsibility. Okay, that's Hashem. I'll carry this on. That's the Hakdama. Anybody who doesn't want to get to know themselves, not a good place to be for the next few days. Weeks actually.
Looks like you're on your own today.
No. I'll be here.
Oh,
I'll
be here. Fine. So we're going to go through the choices of Rosh Hashanah. And then I want to put the body in a Eruvin together. We'll do the Ramban as well. The Ramban, once we've done this, the Ramban's actually very nice. It's a nice summary. It's not the normal kind of a sechta where you have all the Rosh Hashanah's prayers that you know, do this and you really show me a lot. So we get it clear, to go over it many, many times. It's a bit clearer now than it was. That's when the top notes go with the psukim or whatever. So that's a bit clearer, right? A little bit clearer.
Yeah.
So it's just go, oh, Rosh Hashanah. So as soon as you're ready to go to the Gemara in Eruvin, let's do that.
Together again.
Yeah, no, once we go to the Eruvin, then we'll go.